Welcome to the Live Up podcast, where we watch the movies from our youth to see if they live up. Quick note on how this will go. We will review, discuss, and score the movie in question to see if it lives up to us now as adults and whether it would live up to kids today. Make sure to follow us on all the socials at Live Up Pod. Like us, subscribe, do all those fun things. That really helps. I'm Jess Lederman.
And I'm Amanda Treat. Today, it's 1980s Werewolf Mania. Like, seriously, Hollywood was really, really into werewolves in the early 80s.
I feel like they still are, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, there was like a streak, though, of every production company had to make a werewolf movie and a sequel and then all the B-movies, and wow. So this one we're reviewing today, it's a little less gory, a little less serious than a lot of those werewolf movies that were out there in that era. It's like not even up to the quality or gore level of the Thriller music video. This is what we're reviewing today. It's 1985's Teen Wolf. Yes.
Yes.
So before we slash this film apart, get it? Pun? Get
what I did there? Although, you know.
We do have some listener feedback from previous episodes. Let's talk about what we've been hearing, starting with our Clue episode. Someone reached out to me and said that our sidebar on Adult Twister sounded like a euphemism. No, it was not. Nope. We were talking about board games. We were actually talking about adults trying to play Twister and getting very injured. So that was not a euphemism, but thank you for letting us know it sounded like that.
I'll add some quick things. We'll do this lightning round style. There were people commenting that they were also not aware that there were three endings of Clue. So this was sort of the first they had heard it. And my daughter listened and she'd like me to curse less.
Well, yeah.
Oh, well, I told her I'd try.
In our last episode, we talked about my high school English teacher, Miss Mark, and her thoughts on people who curse too much and then proceeded to curse all the way through the episode.
Oops.
So we appreciate the irony, but
yeah, I'm going to try still.
All right. On a personal note, tying back to our Ghostbusters episode from back October 2023, I will be attending a Ghostbusters-themed birthday party for my five-year-old nephew next week.
Excellent. Are you going to go dressed as Dana? Like,
think
you should.
I don't know if he'd get that reference. I think his focus is entirely
on the Ghostbusters. Okay. I'll allow it.
But yeah, he, at another family member's birthday party, insisted that we do a Ghostbusters dance party. We had to put the theme music on and everyone had to dance, and I slightly injured my shoulder.
And this was not Adult Twister.
Shouldn't be playing Adult Twister.
You should go to this party just as Bill Murray and just sort of say inappropriately sexual things the whole time.
Yeah, just wander through it and make side snarky comments. Mm-hmm. I could do that. I'll let you know if the party lives up. But just kidding, my sister's put a lot of work into this, so I think we might actually be busting ghosts.
Perfect 10 across the board.
There. All right, just quick note, our previous episode, we talked about face melting in the Indiana Jones movies, because it happens repeatedly. And I feel the need to clarify, I mentioned the Raiders of the Lost Ark face melt scene, which is so awesome. So epic, but I use the word stop motion animation. That's not what it is at all. So just so it's very clear, this is an actual face melt. They built the actor's skull out of stone. Then they molded wax over it, like a blood colored wax, and then his skin color wax. So they made his human head out of wax. And then they put it in extremely high heat and literally melted it and then sped it up for the camera. So it's like not stop motion, but that was the word I grabbed at the time.
I think we'll forgive you.
I put up on our website, liveuppod.com, we do a recap of our episodes, except we don't recap everything or anything
sometimes.
But I've put a video that shows how they did the face melt on that. Everyone should go look
good
at it.
Good plug for the blog. Cool. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job.
Come check out our blog, folks.
One small thing, last piece of feedback for The Last Crusade. We did not get yelled at yet, partly because, you know, y'all haven't listened to it that much as other episodes, but that's fine.
You know what? It was a vacation week
for a lot of
people, so they'll come back and yell at us next week.
We sort of made a connection, not to give it away, to Disney's Let It Go, and there were some comments about wanting to hear Harrison Ford bust out into song as a duet with the Elsa character for Let It Go. So I thought that was kind of funny.
I mean, could you just take his old indie grunting noises and, like, throw that into the song, Let It Go.
Maybe.
I mean, that would be funny.
If folks have other feedback from episodes, of constructive or otherwise, we'd like to hear it. So please send our way.
All right. So let's talk about the movie at hand.
What are we doing again?
Back to Teen 1985, Wolf? Teen Wolf. Jess, what is your history with this movie?
So this one definitely falls into the category of it was on TV all the time. I have an association similar to Tremors, which we haven't reviewed, but for some reason my brain associates it.
Upcoming episode.
Perhaps. Tremors and Overboard, all of those kinds of movies, I feel like they were all on. And I think I was young enough to understand the teen stuff, but not be a teen myself. So I think I was definitely on the younger side, because I remember thinking like, oh my God, teenagers are so cool when I was watching this movie. But I was also old enough to also have a crush on Pam, who sucks, and we'll get into that. Huh. So that was roughly my age. What about you, Treat?
Okay. Oh, boy. So, when we talked about Adventures in Babysitting, I relayed that I saw that movie for the first time under very weird circumstances.
You did. Probably still annoyed at you for tanking that one, but that's okay.
This might be weirder. So, I saw this at a birthday party. My neighbor Karen, who back when that was like a normal, lovely name for everybody to have.
It wasn't a punchline.
But no, like she was a very nice person. My neighbor Karen invited all of us over. There's probably like 28-year-old girls sitting on the floor, like crisscross applesauce style in front of the TV. And her parents decided we were watching Teen Wolf for the birthday party. And they were sitting there and other people's parents were sitting there. And this is the first time I recall watching a sex scene in a movie with parents in the room. And like, that's awkward.
It is.
That's so awkward.
It's not just one sex scene. It's just like a very over-sexualized movie, probably for kids. Yeah. To be watching adults. Yeah.
Didn't understand what was going on in the keg party scene, and then there's the
nobody
flat
does.
Out. Pamela takes her top off and straddles the werewolf, and I remember feeling very uncomfortable. But it was like, okay, the room is dark and nobody else is like freaking out, so like we're all just gonna continue staring at this TV screen. Like this is totally normal. Great. And yeah, you could just feel the presence of the parents who are watching us watch a sex scene. It was so weird. I don't know. That's just stuck with me forever. Like, you know, it's kind of like, it's your first time. It's your first time watching a sex scene
with adults. That just sounds really weird.
And feeling uncomfortable and knowing, like, you're not supposed to say anything or, like, give them a weird look or anything. Like, just stay focused on the TV and it will all go away in about 5 minutes. Like, so that's, honest to God, my memory of this movie. It was on TV all the time.
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure I watched this after, like, the entire Back to the Future trilogy. Like, Michael J. Fox was very much king of this time in the 80s. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think I'd probably seen Back to the Future maybe once.
Oh, okay.
Before I saw this movie.
And this movie came out at the same year as the first Back to the Future movie. Yeah.
Definitely knew who Michael J. Fox was. I don't want to say it's, like, a trauma scene, but the sex scenes in this, I just feel awkward watching them again because I remember that birthday party. And it's like, no.
To be fair to the people hosting this birthday party.
Where are the
party?
Parents?
Yeah, but this movie
who
was
chose
PG.
This
is a PG movie.
Yeah, why are you showing it to 8-year-olds? Like, guys, we might have been 9, but still.
I was going
to
save this for later in the episode, but I'm 100% clutching my pearls on this one because I was watching this again going like, how is this PG? This is hilariously not PG. Yeah. It's like,
they didn't have PG-13 back then, so here
I
we
know.
Are.
It's just, it's kind of funny. So to be fair to the parents, they're like, PG movie, whatever. I mean.
Nope. Yeah, they had no idea. They just heard this was popular and Michael J. Fox is popular.
And they're like, this is fine because there's tons of kids movies with furries in it. So this is fine. It's all good.
I'd like to think that they were like drinking heavily behind us. Like just like, oh, shoot. Did anyone screen this before we showed it to the little girls?
No, people didn't do that in the 80s. I did know enough to not watch this with my kids. Yeah. I thought about it.
Oh, I was texting you, like, hey, just in case you forgot. Don't watch this with the kids.
I shared that with Elena, my wife, to be like, Amanda's warning me not to show this to the kids. And Elena's like, well, that's good. At least one of you's doing it.
Fun thing I didn't tell you was, as I was texting you, hey, don't watch this with the kids, maybe. I initially sent that text to a whole group chat of my neighbors. why are you telling us not to watch Teen Wolf?
You're like, this kids? Is really like, random.
40 years too late on this. And that is the second time in 1 week that I've texted the completely wrong message to somebody because I didn't look to see what the last conversation I had on my phone
Everyone was. Does so, it.
We're going to check that off as don't do that.
Yeah. Everyone does it. Yeah, so I didn't watch this one with my kids. I mean, I feel like they could watch it and be fine. To be honest, they probably could. I know we'll get into this in the kids section.
Yeah.
But, you know, my very scientific process for this podcast is I try not to do much research. I want to rewatch the movie totally pure. I don't want to prepare myself for what might be great or cringy or anything. I just want to, like, see for myself. So I don't do any research ahead of time. So that's how I roll. Much to my wife's chagrin sometimes, but it kind of had a feeling because I remembered this one enough that I was like, meh, maybe not.
Yeah. Jess, for our listeners who may or may not have seen Teen Wolf and might be thinking about watching it with their kids, but now won't, would you like to give a plot summary?
Or they're thinking these ladies are clutching their pearls. Yes, I will give a plot summary to this pretty simple movie. So I think of this as low-stakes werewolving meets classic 1980s high school movies. You have hot but terrible popular people, feathered bangs, and a dash of toxic masculinity. It's weirdly risque for PG, yet weirdly not bloody for a werewolf movie. So it's totally in that, like, low-stakes werewolving.
Yeah, like, he doesn't bite anyone.
Yeah, I mean, that's honestly something I appreciated about it. Like, there's a lot of dramatic remakes. Like, there's TV series on Hulu. Obviously, there's True Blood. That's possibly an older reference at this point. There's the Twilight series. There's werewolves in Harry Potter. And they all have a very serious, dramatic baggage that comes with them. And this is not that. So I kind of appreciated that it was sort of a lighthearted werewolf movie.
Yeah, I mean, they portray being a werewolf as like, you have an autoimmune disease.
Like, it yeah, really they do. Like, it's just
doesn't change your behavior at all. I don't know.
Yeah, so there's something I kind of liked about it. Like, I liked the low stakes werewolf part.
I usually, unlike Jess, who does no research, I like to dig around and do a lot of research on how they made the movie. Usually I watch the movie first, just in case anyone wanted to know that. I read that Michael J. Fox took this because they paused Family Ties shooting because Meredith Baxter was pregnant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, given her a few months.
Yeah, to not have to hide it behind bags. Yeah.
Reach the conclusion of that. he had free time and signed on to do this. It was a $1 million budget, which
is low.
Ridiculous. Yeah. And they shot it in 21 days, which is ridiculous. Yeah. And I kind of think it shows, I don't know.
It has a little bit of B-movie, in some ways it's like, to me, part of the charm.
I honestly, when I worked in film, I've worked on TV commercials that had a bigger budget and a longer shooting schedule than this.
Like, yeah, it's pretty low budget.
It's crazy. Anyway, let's dive right in.
Yeah.
We love to talk about the characters more than, you know, we get to the plot. So our main character is Michael J. Fox playing Scott Howard, the very busy high school student who's about to discover that he may have an autoimmune disease or he might be a werewolf.
Yep. I kept wanting to call him Marty.
Yeah, no, he's so close to being Marty McFly.
So then in my head, I kept calling him Scotty.
I've said this about other actors on this podcast, but Michael J. Fox always plays Michael J. Fox.
It's true.
But everybody loves Michael J. Fox, so it's
the
like,
same
yes.
character. And I haven't even seen Back to the Future in a while, but watching this, the same mannerisms, the teenage awkwardness, it's essentially Marty McFly.
He's delightful. I mean, he's
Michael yeah, it Fox. Doesn't bother me. Like, this isn't a criticism in the same way it wasn't to me. I know you and I probably felt slightly differently about it. Like, Bill Murray, I'm okay being Bill Murray all the time because I kind of like
it. There's a certain type of actor who is always the same character. Like, Morgan Freeman is an excellent actor, but he always plays Morgan Freeman.
Has he ever played a bad guy?
That's just his thing. Maybe he has. But
ooh, I'd want to see
Wanted. He's a bad guy, and I'm trying to think. There's other ones, but whatever.
Sidebar.
We're talking about Michael J. Fox being Michael J. Fox in every movie. Yeah, he's a nice guy. He's like an underdog. You cheer for him. He's little. He's very physically smaller than all of
really
the other
is.
Actors. Until this werewolf stunt double comes in, and then suddenly he's very tall and thin.
Yeah, and if folks don't...
You know, whatever.
If folks don't remember specifically, you know, he basically, again, he plays Marty McFly. Like, he's not a popular kid. He's sort of a striver. That's essentially him. There's really not much more depth beyond that. But I kind of found it sweet that his quest, he does this whole speech to his best friend who's weirdly named Boof. A girl named Boof. That's his best friend, and that's strange.
Well, we're going to talk about
Yeah, we're going to talk about Boof. He's just on a quest to not be average, and there's something really relatable about that. I found it kind of sweet and endearing watching this time around. And I remember as a kid, I related to him because, like, you relate to the average kid who strives.
They set him up to be so average at the beginning.
Yeah, they kind of do.
He's on the basketball team. He likes the blonde girl. He ignores the brunette girl. Like, he's got his wisecracking friends, but they're like the in-betweeners. They're not the dorks, but they're not the popular ones. He's average. I have to skip past all of this right now and just highlight this movie starts with him playing basketball.
You can't get past it. I know.
He's the worst.
Absolutely.
I'm saying he being Scott, but also Michael J. Fox is the worst basketball player I've ever seen in cinema. It's appalling. Like, no wonder they made a movie called White Man Can't Jump. Like,
oh my God.
This is the worst basketball.
Oh, he didn't even try to learn how to play basketball for this movie.
He's like dribbling with two hands, it looks like. He's doing. I refereed basketball for a few years when I was in my 20s, and I'm just flinching watching everything he does. Like, that was a double dribble. That was a jump ball. That was a travel. Like, oh my God, stop. Just get him off the court. But for some reason, he's the point guard.
And he,
like,
can barely dribble.
Around him's worse.
He can barely dribble without looking at his hands.
He's dribbling chest high.
And just so folks don't remember, there's sort of like a mini basketball sports movie inside this movie. There are a lot of scenes of them playing basketball, and he is the worst player. And
yeah,
Michael J. Fox,
terrible.
He shoots free throws. I can't get past this. He shoots free throws as if it's a chest pass. Like, it is so obviously terrible that it's funny.
No, I'm just super distracted by how awful he is, how awful the whole team is.
And I was really distracted by the level of sweat. Like, the level of sweat happening.
Yeah, they make them very sweaty.
Like, they just stepped out of a pool. There's something wrong with their sweat glands. I texted Amanda.
It's the autoimmune diseases. Oh.
Yeah, I texted Amanda. I'm like, is there something wrong with their sweat glands? Like, all of the players, not just Michael J. Fox, they decided to just douse them in water for these scenes. They're so gross and sweaty.
I could have cited this as a fun fact, and I'm glad I held it till now. They choreographed all of these basketball scenes.
I mean, I guess you have to.
Like, you're going to pass it to here, and then you're going to go and stand exactly on that spot. But the actors at one point were like, could you just let us, like, you know, just throw the ball around amongst ourselves and, like, see if we get a flow going? And apparently it was terrible, but the director, Rod Daniels, said, there is in existence about an hour's worth of footage of the worst basketball you've ever seen in your life.
Oh my God.
That's just in a vault somewhere. I do and don't want to see that.
But I kind of do want to see that, and because I know Hollywood listens to us. So I would watch the mockumentary of a bunch of basketball coaches.
Oh my God. I'm picturing someone
so
throwing
fun.
A basketball at Michael J. Fox and just, like, hitting him in the head.
It's so bad. And it would
like
be a really
them not catching
funny,
things.
Oh, it would be such a funny mockumentary about basketball coaches trying to get this part of
the
film.
The making of Teen
Wolf. Oh my God. It's so funny.
Somebody get ESPN on the phone. I want a 30
Absolutely.
For 30 on the making of Teen Wolf.
And I want to know, I want to meet the choreographer. The basketball choreographer must have wanted to tear their hair out for this movie. They could not have possibly paid him enough. Or her. I mean, oh my God.
Yeah. Like, I picture they were there for like 12 hours. Like, all right, try it again. Ricochet.
So like,
okay, get him another ball. Try again.
Yeah.
I need to complain a little bit more because... Yeah, no, I'm not done.
You're not done with the basketball part of
this movie. I take issue with the scene where in the middle of like a pile on, it should have been a jump ball, but there's a pile of players and you hear a growl and Scott just transforms into a werewolf for the first time that his friends are aware of, or like the whole school pops out of this pile and he's a full werewolf and nobody stops the game. Nobody says anything. They don't even call it time out. Like, this is bullshit. There's people all over this country losing their mind about a basketball game that happened in Massachusetts last week where a trans woman is on the women's basketball team for high school. They had to stop the game because a player on the other team got hurt and they blamed the trans player and like, stop the game.
But
like,
werewolves are fine.
National attention is being given to this one basketball game with a trans player. You're telling me that a guy turns into a werewolf while there's a pylon, pops up, is dribbling the ball away. The ref doesn't blow the whistle, nothing. And the crowd's just kind of like, oh.
Yeah, the opposing team is just like, oh, well, how do we guard the werewolf?
Yeah, let's keep playing. You've never seen a werewolf in real life. Never mind, like, on the opposing basketball team. Like, somebody is going to throw a fit.
But no, I see, I don't know, though, because do you think people these days are squirmy about it? I feel like that would happen now. But I think back in the day, they're like, oh, that guy seems hairy. Oh, well.
They would have had, like, a board meeting about this. Like, you know, get the school board involved. The neighboring town forfeited their games. They don't want to play a werewolf. Like, yeah, no, people sucked in the 80s as much as they do
now. I guess. So, I mean, I get.
I'm just calling bullshit on the whole thing.
Like, I mean, fair.
So, anyway, that's my basketball rant. My basketball rant.
Yeah.
That's sort of an intro into Scott. He is a very nice guy. But after this initial basketball game, he misses the foul shot that wouldn't have even won it. So, like, no stakes.
No stakes.
But he proceeds from a Friday, I'm going to say night. He manages to cram so much stuff into the rest of his day. He goes from the basketball game, showers, goes, talks to the coach, then he walks with Boof, his friend, home, and then he goes to work at the hardware store, and then he goes and delivers a paint delivery to the theater rehearsal back at the high school. Then his friend intercepts him, and they, like, try to rob a liquor store, and then he goes and has dinner with his dad, and then he goes to a party.
Did that all happen on the same
day? He leaves the party. Yes, this is post-basketball game. Like, I was in my head, like, no wonder he's got so much energy. Like, he didn't use any of it in the basketball game, despite the profuse sweating. Maybe he barely ran. And then he went and did all this stuff and is just out, crazy, comes back home and turns into a werewolf for the first time. But, like, all of that stuff happens on one Friday afternoon. It's insane.
I assume that was over multiple days for some reason.
No, that was one sequence coming home from a basketball game.
Okay.
Not Michael J. Fox's fault. That's the screenwriter who didn't have the imagination to spread all that out.
Yeah. I mean, he's average, but he's very relatable. And I think he'd honestly still be relatable to kids today. I mean, there's a timeless aspect of the average teenager who then becomes cool.
No, it's the same thing as, you know, like, Hagrid shows up and, oh, you're a wizard, Harry. Like,
exactly.
Oh, you're a werewolf, Scotty.
Right, exactly.
We can just call him Scotty.
We should. It's like just Scotty. It's fine. We'll mush the name with Marty.
We're close.
We are.
We're close.
It is relatable, and I think, you know, there's still a charm to it, and it's fine.
So, Scotty gets home from this extremely long afternoon after the party. We'll talk about the party in a second, but he goes into the bathroom. Oh my god, his face is changing. Actually, like, decent practical effects given there's no budget at all on this movie. Like, his cheeks are, like, pulsing a little bit and there's hair appearing. And
very B-movie effects, which I actually think is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. His dad's outside the door knocking like, Scott, we need to talk.
Right.
But I remember this when I was a kid, I thought this was kind of cool. This big reveal, the bathroom door opens, and his dad's a werewolf, too.
Yeah, that's so kind of cool.
We're assuming it's a full moon.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's a bonding moment. Scott's big dilemma in this whole film is, like, wrestling with, who am I? Am I a werewolf? Am I an average teenager? But he's better at basketball as a werewolf.
Definitely better as a werewolf, but still not great. But let's talk about Daddy Werewolf.
All right.
Yeah, let's do it.
So,
because I had different feelings about him as a kid and as an adult now.
I remember as a kid, I thought he seemed like a nice dad.
Yeah.
I saw your comment, he shouldn't have kept the werewolf thing a secret. That's not something you just want to trip over one night.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely, as a kid, I almost called him Marty. So Scotty has this rage towards his dad about, how could you not tell me, right? And as a kid, I'm like, that's right. What an asshole. Like, you know, he's the worst dad ever.
Well, I'm like a teenager. Like, yeah. This is very uncomfortable for a teenager.
Absolutely. But then as an adult watching it, I'm like, oh, the dad is so sweet. I kind of like the dad as like the anti-toxic masculinity kind of dad.
Yeah.
So I kind of liked him as an adult. Whereas a kid, I just thought he was the lamest, worst person.
The dad in this movie, his name is Harold Howard, which is kind of a dopey name,
totally,
whatever.
It totally is.
A lot of H's. Played by an actor named James Hampton. And James Hampton went up to the director and said, all right, like, how do you see this character? Like, what kind of guy is he? And the director, once again, director Rod Daniel, said, he's a guy who knows how to make a casserole. And that was the description of this character. But, like, it actually translates. When I think about it, I was like, yeah, no, that dad definitely knows how to make a casserole.
There's a trope in 80s and 90s movies to have a toxic dad. Not all movies, but there's a toxic male character, adult, usually, in these movies. I appreciated that he wasn't. And he kind of saves the day at the end. I almost called him Marty again. Where Scotty is...
We'll know what you mean.
Scotty's getting in trouble with the principal. And the principal has some history with the dad. But the dad basically makes the principal piss his pants and becomes the hero of the day. But it's all very surface level. These are not deep characters.
No. You only get little bits and pieces of pretty much everyone outside of Michael J. Fox's character. The credits started rolling at the beginning and it was like, starring Michael J. Fox. Yay, starring. And
like, who are
listed.
These?
Everyone else is like, I have no idea who these people are. Yeah. Let's talk about more of these not so fully developed characters. There's Boof.
Let's talk about Boof. What the fuck is up with that name?
She's got a real name. I didn't catch what her real name was.
I didn't either.
I, in my head, every time she was on screen, I was like, oh, Friendzone is back. Like, she just permanently was friendzone in my head.
And if folks don't remember, so she clearly has a crush on the Scott, the Michael J. Fox character, and she's the best friend. So again, very 80s predictable storyline here, but that's her deal.
She's a brunette, so she's not the object of desire in an 80s movie.
Yeah,
no, that brown hair. Oof. They didn't give this character a lot to do. I thought the actress, so it's Susan Ercetti, she did the best she could with this. There's a line at some point, she helps Scott with something, and then it's just like, yeah, I'm just here to help you. And he's just like, I couldn't get rid of you if I tried.
What? I missed that line.
I caught that line because I was just like, there's the whole friendship in a nutshell.
I like to play this game with 80s and 90s movies where I imagine what the character is like in present day. Because, you know, teenagers in the 80s and 90s at this point would be, you know, in their late 50s or by now, early 60s.
Yeah, no, they're mid to late career.
Yeah, no, so I like to like kind of imagine what they're like now. Like, who are they? I kind of do this in Stranger Things too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so for Boof, my thing was, for her, I feel like Boof, she's the only one who's making it out of this town. I know they don't give her a lot to do, and this is my imagination, like adding more depth to the character. But, you know, she's the one that makes it out of this town. She is not accepting Facebook friend requests from her friends from high school. She is on her way to a wine bar with her CEO friends.
I mean,
that's how
I'd like to think
her.
She spent her early 20s in like a female metal band. She just strikes me as she would go so far in any direction to just get out of that town and be completely different and a whole new person.
Right. And so she made it out of the town. That's what I kept thinking. I'm like, she's going to make it out of this town. And that was my epilogue for her.
Let her have her wine bar. Like, she seems all
right. Yeah, go there to have your mentorship meeting with your fellow female CEOs. And that's who Boof is.
No, I like it. I like it a lot. The writer did not give her as much thought as you just did there.
Yeah.
Apparently she's called Boof because one of the writers on this had a platonic female friend whose nickname was Boof. So
there
it was
you
like
go.
A secret nod to that person who I also hope is in a wine bar.
Totally.
Somewhere.
You know she is. She made it out of that
not, time. Not talking to that writer anymore. Another thing about this character, Boof, is there's one scene where Scott comes home and she's just playing a game of one-on-one basketball with his dad in their driveway. She's so much better at basketball than he is.
Oh my God. She could be hilarious. A star.
Cut Scott. Put her on the team.
Absolutely.
And she's going to his games and just sitting there patiently watching them lose.
Ugh. Boof learned the patience of a saint to sit through corporate meetings to rise to the CEO level. This is all part of her story.
She's used to watching mediocrity and not commenting on it and then finding her opportunity. Like, she's doing like post-ups on his dad. Like, I feel like she's got a hook shot in there.
She probably does.
So, Boof, you're settling. You're settling.
She didn't settle. She got the fuck out of that town. Yeah, she did not take Scotty with her.
He's complaining all the time about how average he is. You know.
Yeah.
You don't need
And you're
that.
Like, you know what? You are.
There is another friend in this friend group.
So we're talking about Styles, who's the friend. Which is another...
The horrible friend.
Yeah, he's another 80s trope. He's kind of a wannabe Ferris Bueller type in my mind. He is a total asshole taking advantage of his friend.
Scott would be Cameron.
Right.
In this metaphor. And Styles is Ferris Bueller.
Pretty much.
But
like, honestly, not even as cool, but worse. So just to remind folks, before I get into his epilogue, I mean, he's just a classic 80s movies jerk, but he's the friend. And you know these characters, they're still in movies now. He's not even that interesting. He's not like, let's say, Daryl from Adventures in Babysitting, who has some funny, genuinely funny lines and contributes to the plot. Styles does not. He's just there to be a jerk.
No.
So what I imagine for him is that he spent his 20s and possibly his 30s going to like being the creepy guy at high school parties. And so that's who he is.
And he spent his 40s telling everybody that they had to get into crypto. And now he's probably in court somewhere.
Probably.
About to serve a few years.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a perfect thing. And he's probably been divorced a couple times.
Couple of divorces, couple of depositions. He's not doing well lately.
No. I think that's our joint epilogue for this guy.
So this character is played by Jerry Levine. I don't recall him from anything else.
He doesn't even add much to the plot. He's just sort of there. He's basically the guy driving the van while Michael J. Fox van surfs on the top.
Yeah.
I had anxiety watching that, but that's all right.
He pops up because he is trying to get a keg for this party that we're going to talk about. And the old surly man at the liquor store won't give him a keg of beer without an ID. So then he grabs Scott and is like, here is a squirt gun. Go hold up the liquor store and get a keg. Which Scott somehow was like, yeah, okay, he's not going to do it. But like, he pretends he's going to do it and goes in and he doesn't fully turn into a werewolf, but he seems threatening. So the guy gives him a keg. And just, I can't imagine having a friend be like, yeah, I tried to do this thing and got yelled at. So here, go commit a crime. Make up.
Yeah, this is not a well thought out character.
No. And we need to address, he's got a lot of homophobia.
Yeah,
lines.
He definitely.
And yes, it was the 1980s, but he's throwing the F word around.
Absolutely.
A lot. He's making come out of the closet jokes at the party at Scott's expense.
He's like, don't tell me you're a fag.
He's a bigoted asshole.
I did not watch this one with my kids, but he's so underdeveloped as a character. I don't think I would need to say to my kids, yeah, don't act like this jerk. Whereas for Ferris Bueller, we sort of had a whole conversation about bullying after watching that movie.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessary because he's just, whatever. That's why he's, he's dealing in crypto now. It's fine.
No, he's going to prison.
That's true. He's not fine. You're right.
Yeah. All right. One more high schooler we want to talk about. The blonde in this movie is Pamela, played by Lori Griffin. You have stronger thoughts about her than I do.
She's just a trope. I mean, she's the hot girl that Scotty likes and is after, which again is a trope. It's still a trope in high school movies today. But it's also, she's a classic, shitty, popular, hot person. She's totally vapid and has an equally vapid boyfriend.
he's not even, the boyfriend's not even vapid. Like, he's just flat out abusive and controlling. And this doesn't make her a good sympathetic character, but she's definitely in an abusive relationship.
So I had a whole epilogue in my mind for Mick, who plays. So yeah. Mick is her boyfriend. And it was unclear whether he's actually, he looks like he's 35 years old playing a high school student.
All of these actors are like 26 or older. Like Michael J. Fox, I think, was 23. The rest of them are like in their mid to late 20s.
He's an absolute classic jerk boyfriend. He's the jerk boyfriend the same way there was a jerk boyfriend in Adventures in Babysitting. Like, this is the trope.
But he seems violent. The Adventures in Babysitting shithead boyfriend just seems like a jerk, but like not.
Yeah, there's a little bit of just like a jerk.
This guy's menacing.
He is menacing. Yeah. He's like, he's a little controlling. Stay away from my girl. It's definitely implied that he's like that. Although they don't go into that because this movie is not very deep. But my epilogue for him is that he's never grows out of it and eventually becomes a QAnon follower. That's who he is.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
It sort of tracks. Like, he's just sort of dumb.
I think there's a couple of future Trump voters in this movie.
100%.
But definitely Mick.
Definitely Mick.
Probably Pamela.
Probably Pamela. But so, yeah, Pamela's just, that's who she is. And there is a plot line where all of a sudden she gets more interested in Scotty because he becomes a werewolf.
Well,
because
he gets popular and everyone's paying attention to him. But it seems like she's using him to get out of her relationship, but then at the moment where he asks her, like, are we going out? She's like, no, I'm still with Mick.
I know.
And they've already just, like, made out in front of him at the bowling alley. She's a terrible girlfriend if she just normally does shit like that. I don't know what her deal is. If she's in some sort of weird head game that her and Mick, like, look at how far I can go with another guy before I come running back to you. Like, I don't know what the fuck.
I feel like you've now made her more interesting from your description because you've added this depth of whether she's trying to get out of this relationship, whether she's playing with these games with her boyfriend. None of that, by the way, listeners, is in this movie.
It's not in the film. Yeah. We're just assuming. Because otherwise her behavior makes no sense. Like, she...
You're just adding a lot of depth here to her.
I'm giving her layers that aren't there, but yeah.
She's just a shitty popular person. That's who she is. And of course, I have an epilogue for her. I think it doesn't really jive with the depth you gave her. But to me, she is like the opposite of Boof. She never made it out of this town. She manages the Applebee's over in that shopping center that used to have the Blockbuster. And she still has feathered bangs.
Because I've given her all this depth, I would like to see her show up on an episode of Snapped, where she's murdered her husband, Nick, and covered it up.
Getting
interviewed on a documentary show that maybe she's also going away for a long, long time because she murdered Nick. I don't know.
Absolutely. I love it.
That's as much depth as I can give
I love that her epilogue is that she's somehow in a true crime-related documentary.
Yeah. No, she's shuffling around somewhere in, like, prison clothes and is no regrets. No regrets.
Yeah, a little bit of, you know, she had it coming.
He had it coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. That's a better epilogue. Boy. We're going to go with that one. So she did technically make it out of the town, but, you know, not too far.
Right into the county. Right into county. You know, Scott probably visits her there just because he's a nice guy like that.
Yeah. I don't have an epilogue for him.
We, by the way, have written such a better Teen Wolf
Hollywood, are you listening?
I would love this to actually, like, let's draft this out. This I could sell this.
Hey, the whole thing could start as, like, a true crime, like, who murdered Mick? And then you find out all these things, like, in the town.
You think it's Scott, but no. It was Pamela.
It was Pamela the whole time, but Scott used to be a werewolf, and oh my god.
Scott helped her get rid of the body, because he's a nice guy.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He had the wheelbarrow.
I like this movie. It's good. This movie lives up.
All right. So, take all of these characters, minus the dad, and we're going to go to a house party. They're driving up, and his idiot friend Styles is doing, like, surfing on top of the van.
Which, by the way, as a kid, I thought was very cool.
I thought it was cool as a kid. And apparently the actor did do that stunt for real. They just wired him to the roof and let him go at it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, honestly, watching as an adult and a parent, I absolutely clutched my pearls.
You would have called the cops if you saw this.
I might have. Or at least I would have shouted out the window the way I want to shout at all those assholes in scooters. Wear a helmet!
Mm, yeah.
That's my epilogue.
So they go van surfing up to this house. It's like kind of broad daylight, and there's a million kids on the front lawn.
Drinking.
And there's just cars everywhere, and just, yeah, chaos on a lawn, which I don't know any high school party that spills into the front lawn before the party's even started. Like, it just is a disaster.
Yeah, and have you ever, like, this is, and I know this is featured in a lot of high school movies even to this day. Can't Hardly Wait comes to mind. That's more one from the
90s. Yeah, the blowout kegger
but
party.
It's, who's been to a party like this? You know, did they just get lamer in the 90s? Because all of the ones I went to in the 90s were very weird or awkward or both.
Yeah. No, I mean, we all used to, it was like, grab whatever alcohol you can get a hold of. So everyone's bringing like 1 inch of vodka in a water bottle because that's all they could steal from their parents' liquor cabinet without it being noticed. And we would meet on the golf course or like
you,
in
you
the
were
woods
still cooler than me, Amanda. I don't
somewhere.
Know.
I do remember there was one party that I did not attend, but knew about and knew better than to attend it. This girl who really wanted some attention badly, her parents were moving and stupidly like left the house.
Classic.
That had already been sold.
Oh my God.
She still had the keys to that. So she invited the whole high school to a kegger at her parents' already sold abandoned house, no furniture. And like, they just trashed the place.
Yeah, this, oh God.
So she was immediately sent to like boarding school for the rest of her life after
she's
that.
She's still there.
Yeah. She's in prison she's now. She was on an episode of Snapchat.
Just epilogues for everybody. Set the scene of this party. Thanks. Because I think this is when you were watching the scene. You're like, I don't know, Jess, if you should watch this with the kids.
Yeah, so they go into the house, past the lawn that's being trashed in broad daylight with nobody calling the cops. Get in there and there's some weird sex game going on where they've got two people, heterosexual, not a couple though, like they're drawing names out of a hat, but you got two, a girl and a guy tied together at the wrists in their underwear, like writhing around in shaving cream. And
yeah,
it's not clear what they're doing.
It's so
like,
weird.
It's supposed to be a game, but it's like, are you trying to Houdini yourself out of this? I don't know what the rules are here, but everyone's standing around them in a circle. They look like hostages in a pile of shaving cream.
They're still talking to their therapist about that party, I'm pretty sure.
So then there's more games going on. They're drawing people's names out of a hat.
The MC of all these games are Styles, the friend, who
yeah, of course it's Styles,
identified as like the future crypto jailbird. He takes a kid and a boy and then a girl, and he like basically dumps a bowl of Jell-O down her shirt. And tells the guy, yeah, like, and now you have to eat it all. And
oh, yeah, he has to eat the Jell-O out of her shirt.
Yeah.
And it's like, Everyone who happens to be at the party, I think, has their name in the hat. Again, imagine 8-year-old me sitting in a dark room with parents in the background being like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be watching this. Scott and Boof get thrown together for like a 7 minutes of heaven thing in the closet. Nothing too bad happens there, but it's still very uncomfortable for a child watching it with an adult. There wasn't a lot of making out. Like, the two of them are having
a conversation. Oh, it's pretty PG, but
she's friend zoned.
Absolutely. Yeah, but the whole scene, I mean, it's a tapestry of 80s tropes, unrealistic high school party. They're smoking, they're drinking, there's Jell-O wrestling.
There are way too many of, I'm saying high school kids, they're all 26 years old, but they're all wearing like sunglasses indoors. Like, that's just such an 80s look.
It is.
I don't know.
I mean, who knows?
Like, why are you inside a house party wearing your sunglasses? Idiots, come on.
I did feel kind of like a Karen watching this because I was like, whose house is this? Who's gonna clean up?
Yeah. Oh God, it's gonna be awful.
Yeah, it's bad. And these types of parties do show up. They show up in 16 Candles. They show up in other 80s movies. I mean, we're painting it like it's like a total debauchery. It's not really, but it's just sort of, it's slightly cringy.
The sex
though.
Games thing is just weird and uncomfortable. You know, like maybe one of those games happened at a party. I can't imagine a party that's doing all of those games and everyone's treating it like, oh yeah, this is what we do.
It all has a hint though of it's all the men are, the boys are in control. It's like the it's very much like objectifying. I mean, I'm really now in Angry Les territory here, so sorry folks. But it kind of is. It's all male gaze stuff. It's what it is. And
yeah. No, they're not playing spin the bottle.
Yeah, there's no control. It's more just like, I'm going to dump a bowl of Jell-O involuntarily down this girl's shirt and make some other guy eat it. Honestly, I would be okay with my daughter watching this because, like, she knows that this is fucked up. I wouldn't be okay with my son watching it, though.
Your daughter would be uncomfortable watching this movie.
Oh, absolutely. But I don't want my son to think it's cool to do these things.
No. People, don't watch this with your kids. Don't make me text my neighbors again. there's a couple other characters in this movie that they're mostly comic relief.
The only side character to me that I thought was kind of funny in this viewing was the coach, the basketball coach. Because he's such a tool.
All right. So we got Coach Finstock, played by Jay Tarsus, who is actually a writer.
Okay. I have no idea who this guy is.
I don't either. Wow. This coach is the worst youth sports coach.
Oh, he's
second to Rodney Dangerfield in Ladybugs. So he's pretty bad. He, at one point, goes out of his way to announce to the team, it's not how you play the game, it's whether you win or lose. And it's just like, and you don't even, like, you're not even good at that. He tries to forfeit a basketball game with, like, a minute to go in the first scene. Because they're just, like, losing so badly. And it's like, you just can't wait a minute for this to play out. Scott tries to talk to him at one point about, like, hey, I don't know if this team's working for me. And, like, there's a lot going on. Yeah, and the coach is, like, so checked out. Like, oh, this sounds, you know, like, it does sound like a puberty discussion. But he comes in, like, I got a problem, coach. And he's like, nope.
Yeah, pretty much. He's like, come on in, Scott. Let's have a man-to-man chat. And then Scott starts talking about real stuff. And he's like, oh, well, I gotta go.
Oh, not that.
So I actually thought that was kind of funny.
There's one scene before, you know, when they go on their winning streak, because they got a Teen Wolf on the team now. He's just, like, pounding marshmallows before the game. I just was like, what is this guy doing? Because it's not like he's doing Big League Chew or sunflower seeds or anything remotely normal. Like, he has a bag of marshmallows and he's just chomping away with that white fluff all over his mouth. It's just like, what the F, man? Ew, God. Yeah.
They played him like a satire, but the movie itself wasn't a satire. So it's hard to, like, place his role in this. He was funny, but not so funny that it's worth...
Here's where we can start swapping around actors. Like, can you imagine Bill Murray playing this character?
Amazing.
That would have been amazing. Yeah.
Good
point.
He could
keep the damn marshmallows. A good actor would have knocked this
absolutely
out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, Bill Murray would have been really funny in this. Absolutely. Yeah. He would have been great.
Just your sloppy, disinterested basketball coach could have been so much funnier. Like a Woody Harrelson. Or there's other actors out there who would have really crushed it. This guy is...
I think that's all the characters. You could probably summarize the characters as absolute 80s tropes. I mean, I guess I spent my time reimagining their epilogues.
Yeah. No, I like that. Our Teen Wolf 3, because there's already a Teen Wolf 2.
I feel like we wrote this.
Whatever our movie is, it's going to be good. Teen Wolf to the future.
Teen Wolf to the future.
Teen Wolf to the future.
I feel like we gave the movie more depth, and I absolutely love your Pamela edition of...
Oh,
true crime.
Hell yes.
True crime.
So last episode, we were talking about Disney stealing the plot. We've talked about this before, but...
This is the pattern.
Did Disney's Turning Red completely steal the plot of this movie?
Oh, my God. I didn't... And I've seen Turning Red recently with my kids, and we just talked about this last episode of Disney stealing plots and did not put this together, but you're absolutely right. This is essentially Turning Red. Except instead of middle school girls, it's high school boys.
But do we allow it? Because I would argue Turning Red was actually a pretty good
movie. I feel like, well, I mean, there have been other steals, if you will.
Not original.
I think not Frozen's original. A good movie, even though...
They might have stolen Elsa, not letting it go.
They clearly had a group of writers who watched the same amount of television that we did as kids and then went on to produce these movies that just take those plots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were on a hard deadline. They were hungover. They woke up and Teen Wolf was streaming on TV the next day. And
you could do, like, some sort of crossover now. You have Teen Wolf. Throw the panda in with the wolf. Yeah. We've had mixed species furry situations happening.
We have, yeah.
Yeah.
A little Robin Hood. Disney's Robin Hood.
We didn't even talk about this in the Pamela section because I got so distracted with her epilogue. But I thought of it when I was watching this because for some reason furries has come up multiple times, I think in four episodes that we've that we've done.
Let's make it a fit.
Let's just do it. You know, you got Babes in Toyland. You got what else? Oh, Robin Hood, man. The Disney Robin Hood. And yeah. Then this one is a very pretty much obvious one.
This is the scene where the group of 8-year-old girls felt most uncomfortable watching this with Karen's parents sitting in the back of the room. Pamela straddles him while he is fully werewolf, then takes off her top. She's making out with him and just sexually saying, like, you're an animal.
Yes.
You're an animal. And it's like, oh my God. Ew. Ew. Stop it, lady. Ew.
I know. So once again, a furry appearance in this.
Maybe before she went to prison in her post-life.
She was going to furry conventions. And
she's like very online.
Yeah, she was definitely a big fan of the fox in Robin Hood, for sure.
So you've heard me list off basketball sucks so badly in this movie. But there's other things, too. The fucking music in this movie. What is going on? It, like, wants to be Journey's Separate Ways, or it wants to be David Bowie so badly. And, like, it revs itself up and you almost are excited for whatever sports montage is about to take place. And the music is distractingly worse than the basketball.
It is distractingly worse.
What is happening?
I made a note, because the one fun thing about watching old 80s movies is sometimes the soundtrack is kind of fun, because it's like sometimes songs that you haven't heard in a while, they're iconic songs that had their start in that movie. You had the early
movie.
Rap Christmas song in Die Hard,
Fun. Run DMC's right. In there.
So,
yeah,
nice. But for this one, I'm like, who are these people singing? It's almost like a parody. Like, somebody's like, we can't afford the rights to all these songs. So yeah. Let's just...
No, I mean, it would have been so much better if this was just like the South Park guys. Like, we're making the montage. Like, yes. Just... This is so close to being a parody of itself, but it's just cheap ass music.
Yeah,
it's
like Back to the Future, terrible. Just because it came out the same year, they had the Huey Lewis. There's a lot of music in that one that's just really fun.
Yeah. Or like those Rocky movies, you hear a song that becomes iconic after that movie.
There's no iconic music.
They're cheesy, but they're like fantastic. These are cheesy and they just stay cheesy. They do not get
fantastic. I'm not even going to bother to run the music behind us talking, because
it's just a bunch of synthesizer chords.
Yeah, it's just royalty free crap. That's part of all the montages. Yeah. And I did also find it distracting. The only song they do have is they have Surfing in the USA when they're doing the van surfing. And I just want to like make what I think is an uncontroversial statement to say that that is a terrible song. It is an objectively terrible
and
song.
And I will fight you on this, because the Beach Boys are American treasures. And how dare you say that about the Beach Boys?
I don't know, guys. It's a dumb song.
We gotta go fight. Excuse us for a moment.
Excuse us as we fight over the Beach Boys.
We gotta go fight over Surfing USA.
But that's the only recognizable song in this whole movie.
Yes. And appropriate for van surfing, even though both of us probably would have called the cops if we'd seen that van
completely.
Flying by.
Or at least yell to them to wear a helmet. Anyway.
Again, I'm thinking too much about this movie, but like at the end, it seems like the moral that they're trying to convey is just be yourself. But then is it Scott just being himself as a werewolf or not? Because he's, you know, he looks in the mirror, he freaks out. His dad tries to talk him down, like, you know, you're a werewolf and like, you got to learn to be okay with that. But then Boof is like, I'll only go to prom with you if you're not a werewolf. And he goes to this last basketball game. He's like, I'm not playing as a werewolf. And which is it?
There's confusing identity here.
You learn to accept yourself. I don't know what's, yeah, it really muddies the moral of the just be yourself.
I think you're thinking a little too hard about this. It's just...
I think I am, but like I'm trying desperately to put a nice message on this movie, and I think they couldn't even stick the landing on
it. Yeah, there's no message. It's not like Breakfast Club where everybody just comes away with it. That's a future episode, folks, where, you know, after that, everyone just feels like more themselves and they've had a group therapy session, and that is just be yourself kind of thing. Whereas like this is... you're right. It's a little confusing. Even Groundhog Day, not a high school movie, but, you know, the whole thing of that movie is Bill Murray going to be a better Bill Murray? And Michael J. Fox is still average Michael J. Fox at the end.
All right. We also like to talk about things the movie did well. I am being super juvenile on this, but there is a big sign at the back of the basketball court that says Beavers are best because they are their high school mascot is the Beavers.
And so I noticed that only at the very end of the movie that they are called the Beavers. And I'm like, oh, that's a little funny.
I was dying laughing in the middle of the movie, especially the Beavers are best. I was like, did Melania Trump write that sign?
I know. So that's so a little funny. Bit of a wink that you never would have like picked up on as a kid. We've been dumping on this movie a bit. And the fact that you're like, the best part of this movie is that the basketball team name is the Beavers. And you found that funny.
Yes.
But I kind of, absolutely. There's something that I like about it is that it still has a charm. I like that it was not a serious werewolf fantasy drama. Obviously, that wasn't the intent. But the fact that the stakes are just being embarrassed and trying to be cool, it hit the mark for what it is to me. And I go as far to say that I think, you know, if a younger person stumbled upon it, like a teenager, they'd cringe, like, what the hell is this? It's still relatable, I think. And precisely because it's not over dramatic, bloody werewolf situation. Again, I'm adding more depth than I think it deserves.
I mean, this whole movie is a metaphor for puberty. You're growing, you're changing. And instead of being uncomfortable, well, no, it's an uncomfortable movie to watch with parents. I'm gonna just keep saying that. Instead of being like, hit you over the head with it, it's like, oh, he turned into a werewolf. Isn't his puberty extra awful? Oh no.
Do you think we're ready to rate?
I think we are.
All right, so Amanda the Order Muppet's gonna get her spreadsheet out. I'll remind listeners new and old. So at this point, we rate the movie 1 to 10, 1 being garbage, 10 being Princess Bride. We do 2 ratings. One for adults, as we are now, and then we do a second rating for does it live up to kids today? So first one, we'll do adults. What do you think, Amanda? What would you give it? I mean, we spent a lot of time trashing this movie, but we also just sort of made up a whole other new movie that I think we like better.
We did. I really want to see that
movie. I do too.
I'm going to give this a 3.5.
Oh God, that has to be one of your lower
ones. I'm holding to my halves, but
is this your lowest for adult?
Yeah. No. I went lower on Troop Beverly Hills,
which you were wrong about.
And I went lower on Babes in Toyland.
Well, you were right about that.
But
yeah. Well, I'm going to go a lot higher because it's just sort of classic. It's kind of exactly how I remembered. It's not any more or less cringy, I think, or uncomfortable that I remember. So I'm going to give it a 6. I'm going to give it a 6 for adults because I think if you as an adult, if you watch this and you stumble upon it, it's still kind of a fun watch. And I know I did not feel that way about Ferris Bueller. I was sort of like a little appalled at Ferris Bueller, whereas this one, I'm sort of like, eh, it's sort of fun.
6 lands it in the good, because that's above average.
I know. I'm okay with that.
I'm just saying. All
just
right.
Just very all uncharacteristic right. of me. I'm pretty harsh.
Your scores have been higher
really?
Than mine. Like, we hit the new year and have switched personalities.
I guess we have. Wait, what did I give Clue for adults?
You gave that a 7.5.
Oh.
I'm not trying to talk you out of it, but I'm just saying, you're landing this on the good side of the spectrum.
You know, I'm going to go down a half point and say 5.5, because I do think it's slightly above average. Okay, that's a 9
right.
for adults. So same rating for kids, 1 to 10, 1 being garbage, 10 being Princess Bride.
Why don't you go first on this one?
Yeah, so I don't think it's terrible. So I gave this a 4. I think kids will relate to it and teens will relate to certain aspects of it. But there are better versions of this. There are even better versions from the 80s and 90s that kids do like.
All right.
I might have been too generous with the 4. You might have to talk me down.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with 3 on this. I don't think it's a good portrayal of how high school kids are. I think Michael J. Fox does bring a lot of charisma to this, but ultimately the script is terrible and these kids are acting horribly.
I do think it's at the level of Ferris Bueller where I think I gave that a 4 as well for kids. Where
you gave that a 4.
To me, it's like equally okay for kids. Like, they're not gonna love it. In fact, I'd even argue kids might like this one better. My kids did not like Ferris Bueller. Like, he was just such an obvious bully. Whereas at least for this one, Scott, the Michael J. Fox character.
Scotty McFly.
He's relatable. I think the main character is relatable enough. Kids will like this a little bit better, but they won't love it.
So that brings us to 16, which is not our lowest, but it's actually tied exactly.
Get out of here. Well, that kind of tracks. Yeah. That's where I would put it.
I mean, these movies have a similar vibe.
I think the difference, though, is Ferris Bueller, I was really disappointed because I expected it to be much better watching as an adult than it is. Well, this is not the only thing we do. We also give it a yay or nay, whether it lives up or not. It has to be unanimous for it to officially live up. I kind of think I know where this is going. And I will just make one case in its favor. Well, I'll start with the negative. This isn't a high quality viewing experience, but I didn't dislike it. And I'd say the only thing in its favor is that it's like slightly fun to watch as a nostalgia watch. That's my case. What do you think, Amanda? Lives up? Yay? Nay?
I think if you're going to do a nostalgia watch, maybe go watch Back to the Future and get your Michael J. Fox feel that way.
Yeah.
I don't think this movie lives up. I think it's incredibly dated.
Yeah. It's too cringe.
Even in the 80s, it's one of those movies that it's just got some stuff in it that you just shouldn't be passing on to future generations. And it's subtle, but it's like, yeah, you don't want your boys behaving like these guys. And you don't want your girls behaving like these gals. With the exception of Boof, who's off at her wine
Exactly.
bar.
Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah, I'd say it doesn't live up as well. Listeners, you may agree, disagree. You might have other plot points you want to add to this movie that Amanda and I have written on the fly during this podcast for another iteration, a reboot, if you will, of Teen Wolf. Get in touch with us at LiveUpPod on all the socials, at LiveUpPod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.